What's up, guys? My name's Abe, recovered crack cocaine addict, an alcoholic, and it's a pleasure to come out here at Awesome Recovery alumni. You know, this support team of alumni, you know, kept me sober through the first few years of recovery. You know, I really advise anyone to get involved. You know, I don't have meeting-based recovery today. I've got service-based recovery. You know, which means I get involved. Someone's got to show up here early and make the fire. Someone's got to set up these chairs. Someone's got to tear it down. And those people that do that stay sober. And those chairs that fluctuate, come in and out, I don't know their story. I don't know. All I know is they're not there anymore. No, anyway, I never come up here like, oh, I'm going to talk about this tonight. I'm going to talk about this because I never know. You know, the first time I told my story was at Austin Recovery, and had 90 days sober, and my sponsor said, you're telling your story. And I'm like, I don't know what to say. He was like, he gave me this prayer, and it said, God, speak to me and through me, make your words my words. And so every time before I tell my story, you know, I just something real simple, speak to me and through me, make your words my words, and something happens. You know, when the first time I did that, I said that prayer. Next thing you know, it was an hour later. And for the first time, I'd been used as a vessel to carry this message of hope that I didn't know I had in me. I didn't know I knew how to speak. I didn't know I knew how to tell my story. I didn't know I knew how to convey the directions that were outlined in the big books of Alcoholics Anonymous to someone else. How to not smoke crack. How to not miss Christmas. How to stop fucking wrecking trucks and, you know, just burning everything down. I didn't know I knew how to do that. I knew I hadn't done it in 90 days, but I didn't know I knew how to give that information out to someone else, which is a trip. You know, because I got intervened on. Like, I've smashed 1,000 pipes, bottles. Like, this time it's it. This is it this time. I'm for real this time. Like, and I meant it. Like, with every fiber of my being, I meant it. You know, I was threatened, ultimatumed. You know, if you do this one more time, I'm leaving. You know, if this happens again, you're fired. You know, you're going to get kicked out of whatever, school, the apartment, whatever. That's happened enough times to where I know that doesn't work on me. You know, I don't know about you guys, but alcoholics and addicts, I don't respond real well to ultimatums. Like, you're like, oh, you better not smoke crack or you're out of here. It's like, well, then I'm out of here, you know. You know, I moved out at 15, you know, as my dad, you know. It's like, my house, my rules. Well, I was like, later, you know. I don't do that. I never have. You know, I've got this rebellious spirit. I don't know about anyone here has it. You know, that just fucking goes against the grain, constantly goes against the grain. You tell me why I can't, I'm going to show you why it's a good idea too, you know, how it's going to be different when I do it, you know, and the rules don't really apply to me. Anyone else have that here? Wow. Yeah, I got it pretty bad. Chris got it pretty bad too. Yeah, so I smashed 1,000 pipes, said I was done, and I meant it every time for a little while. Here's the deal. I recover pretty quick. Like, I scar up real quick. I forget about the pain and suffering of a week or a month ago. And the big book says I can't bring to mind with sufficient force. You know, so I think I forgot. But I didn't forget. I know. I fuck up Christmas. I fuck up weddings, funerals. You know, I remember. But I can't bring that into my mind with sufficient force. Like, that's not enough. Like, knowing that she's going to leave, knowing that I'm going to lose this again, knowing I'm going to have to rebuild again, knowing that is not enough for me. You know, I've got to be able to take some action. You know, and I didn't think I was ready because everybody I was in treatment with was like, oh, man, I was, like, camping at AR, just waiting for my spot, had these great stories of, like, how they want this so bad. That wasn't my story this time. I got intervened on, you know, so I didn't think this was going to work for me because I thought it was only going to work for you guys that were like, oh, please let me in, you know, just so I'm sitting in there, and I'm looking at this stuff on the wall, and I'm like, oh, God, oh, shit. I'm like, that's good for you, the sheep, you know, you people who just, like, buy into this, like, God thing, you know, that is just, oh, I believe. You know, but the thing is, I'm sitting in treatment next to the same guy who's like, oh, I got Jesus, I got God, I got this big God. It's like, well, you're sitting next to me in fucking treatment, you know? How big's your God? You know, you can't stop smoking crack either, you know? So we have to find something different. You know, if you think you have something, you know, we might need to look at what we're doing. You know, because I didn't have anything. All I believe in is hustling. You know, because that's the only thing that's ever got me everything I wanted. And even when I got it, it wasn't enough. It's never enough. You know, I suffer from this spiritual malady that tells me I'm either way smarter and cooler than you, or I'm a piece of shit. You know, and the only thing that's ever made me feel part of is drugs and alcohol. So it's not the problem, it's my solution. Drugs and alcohol, man, I remember when that worked. 6 drinks, 2 rails in, boom. It's like, I found the solution. You know, you guys ever like, are going to a show or going somewhere and you're like, well, let me get right and I'll meet y'all there. You know? I have to get right because I'm not right. I don't feel right. I don't feel the way I think everybody else feels. Until I light it up or drink it up or snort it up, and then I feel part of. You know, I remember that feeling, man. 6 drinks, 2 rails in, boom. I walk in the club. I love it when they call me Big Papa. You know, it's like, it's just popping, you know? And that's the story. I haven't been to a club in a while. But, it's been a minute. They used to play that shit. But I remember when it worked. But my head's like, oh, that's going to happen. Like, every pool ball I hit's going to go in, and every joke I tell is going to be funny. Every female I talk to is going to be responding. You know, it's just boom, you know. This is what my head tells me, but it's not like that. You know, I know that point where 6 drinks, 2 rails, you know, it makes me feel part of. But I fly by that fucking point at Mach 1. I'm like, you know, it's like, I can't. Next thing you know, it's 3 days later, and the paycheck's gone, and, you know, I remember that feeling of sitting in the hotel, and your phone's blowing up, and I'm stuck. You know, I'm stuck. I can't even answer it. I start turning it off. You know, and that phone just keeps ringing and ringing. Everybody's like, where the fuck are you? You're supposed to be here. What happened? Da, da, da. And you see those messages coming in, and you're just like, ah. What's worse is when that phone stops ringing. Because I gave up. You know, I remember that loneliness. You know, paycheck's gone. Everybody's gone. Phone's not blowing up. You know, they're knocking, housekeeping, you know, time to go. You know? You know, so anyway, I smashed so many pipes and made resolutions. Like, this time I'm done. I can't pull it off. I pull into treatment. I go to detox. And, you know, I got ultimatumed by my job, but it was a big ultimatum this time. You know, I was in sales and had big commissions coming this month, record month. And the guy's like, you got to get some help. And I partied with this guy, you know. I partied with this. I got intervened on by someone I did coke with. You know? And he's like, you're fucked up. I'm like, we were just partying together like 3 days ago. Anyway, he was like, you got to get some help. I was like, well, I'll go to detox, but I'm not doing that rehab thing because I'd already tried that before. And he's like, I don't care what you do. You got to do something. And I checked myself into detox, and I remember on my way to detox, I went to my house and I gathered everything that reminded me of that life. I mean, I threw everything, like mirrors that I did lines off, like triple beams, guns. I just got rid of everything, got everything and put it together, and I'm tired of living that fucking life. you know, I'm tired. Because this time, you know, I really wanted to try and do it right. You know, because I always come back and there's, like, papers and the tray is still under the couch. And, you know, it's just like, this time I'm just done, man. I cleaned out the house and I went next door and I told my mom. I bought the house next door to my folks. And I told my mom, you know, I'm going to detox. And she's like, what are you talking about, mijo? Everything's going good. You know, I just bought a house, had a brand new truck in the driveway. But inside I was empty, man. You know, and my life's not like that. It's not like externally I can build shit. But I hustle and lie to get it. I do whatever it takes to get it. You know, I had a ninth grade education and I'm working six figures. Sales, corporate sales, you know, working mortgage business, you know, which I've got no fucking business doing. I got a ninth grade education. I've been selling dope since I was a kid. You know? What am I doing owning a house with a brand new truck? You know, here's the deal. I can't tell one lie. I tell one lie and another lie and another lie. And next thing you know, I'm living that fucking lie. Here's the problem with that stage character. Even when you love me, even when you try and love me, I can't show you that love back. Because you love that stage character. You love that guy that I'm presenting. And I'm never going to live up to it. I'm never going to be the guy that you think I am that I presented in front of you. So I went to detox. I see guys like leaving out the back of detox. Like little heroin addicts, like, oh, 2-3 days, and they're sick, and they just scoot out the back door because it didn't lock. And welcome to Austin Recovery. I don't think that you can lock them in. Maybe you, I don't know. Anyway, they didn't lock us in. And I don't know the rules, but these guys would leave, and I knew if I left, I was it. You know, I was smoking. You know, I knew it. And so I went and talked to my counselor. I was like, man, this ain't going to be enough. You know, I took six bars on my way into detox, because I don't know if they know how to detox me. I know. You know, I know how to detox me. You know, six bars, put the AC on 50, and give me a sandwich, and wake me up in 3 days, you know? So I can detox me. You know, So I'm sitting in detox, I'm scared, you know, and I go and say, look, you know, I'm going to need to go to rehab or something, and she's like, well, it's going to be like $20,000 or something. I'm like, I don't got shit, you know, and and she was like, and, you know, and I turned on the tears, you know, the waterworks. Oh, please let me in. I'm going to smoke crack. And all of a sudden, I'm the guy that's like, you know, I've got the same story as the guys that came in, like, needing help so bad. And I'm sitting in there. I don't think it's that bad. And then they're about to let me out. And I'm like, fuck, it's that bad. You know, I didn't know, you know. And so I'm in detox, and the intake counselor lady was like, look, we got a guy who's supposed to be here at 3. If he's not here by 3, county funded, you can have his bed. And so I say the most selfish prayer I've ever said. It's like, God, let this guy go do dope for one more day. You know? And I don't even believe in God, and I'm saying this prayer. You know, I don't even have a God, and I still do that. I got lights flashing behind me, and I got fucking 16 pounds and a pistol next to me, and I'm like, oh, God, please let that cop not pull me over, you know? I only have a God when lights are flashing or, like, shit's burning down. I'm like, please, God, you know? So I got something, you know? And next thing you know, it's 3 o'clock, and she comes, and she's like, hey, the guy didn't show up. We're going to rehab. I'm like, fuck yeah, you know? Let me run to my house. Let me run by my office. Let me take care of some shit, and I'll meet you up at the rehab. She's like, nah, get your bag. You're going to get in the druggy buggy. We're going. Druggy buggy, right? User cruiser. The Ativan, whatever they call it. But, you know, she was like, what are you going to do in 10 minutes online or 10 minutes on your phone that you haven't done in 30 years? You've been avoiding everybody and you've been shucking everybody and you've been burning everything down for so long. What's going to happen in 10 minutes on that phone, on that computer that you haven't done up to this point in your life? I said, shit, all right, let's go. And I went to rehab, you know, and I saw the pictures and it was cool. There was like horses and like a swimming pool and shit. It's like, I saw the little pamphlet and I was like, yeah, that looks pretty cool. It's like one-on-one therapy and all this shit, you know, and I get out there and it's like a warehouse of drug addicts. I'm like, ah, you got me. Good way. Yeah, I'm in sales, so I can appreciate that. Like, in some, you got me. Well done. You know, and I've been in that type of dormitory type situation. You know, I already know what to do. Go sit with the Mexicans, play dominoes, you know. Let me out in 30 days. You know, I get it. So I do. I can go sit with the Mexicans over there, and we're playing some dominoes, and I'm like, so, you know, who needs smokes? You know, I'm trying to get the deal. I hustle, you know. I'm like, who needs what? Who's, you know, who's giving out chores? You know, we need to get in good with them. And, you know, it's just hustle bullshit, you know, the addict mind, you know, which I actually did. It's a different story, but I didn't pick up a broom the whole fucking time. I was like, who's giving out chores? You know, I gave that guy cigarettes. Me and a friend of mine, Jerry, were the only ones there with cigarettes, so we were like running the joint. Anyway, different story. But I get out there, and I'm there like, hey, man, it's not like that. We're just trying to get well. You know, we just want to get better. So I saw people authentically that wanted help. I was like, shit. You know, and I go to my intake with my counselor, and this little old lady named Gail, so sweet, you know, somber lighting, smelled like lavender in there, and it's like Native American flute playing, like, very lightly, and, you know, she's, like, asking me, she's just doing an intake, you know, and I seen this on TV. It's like, oh, here's where I lay down and tell her all my shit, you know? And so I start telling her everything, you know. I'm just like, I fucking shot a kid when I was 15. I fucking ripped off all these people. I fucking, you know, all this bullshit. My cousin got killed, you know. Just all this hurtful, painful shit that's happened in my life. I'm just puking. Just everything. Everything that's ever happened. This is why I'm an addict. This is why I'm an alcoholic. This is why I'm so fucked up. You know, and she's doing a county-funded intake. She's like, what's your social? You know? You know, I didn't know. I thought we were going to figure it all out right then, you know. She's like, how does that feel? I was like, I don't know. I guess I'm hungry, you know, or tired or whatever. And she's like, those aren't feelings. And she made me put this thing around my neck and said, ask me how I feel. And it had like emoticon shits on the back. And it's like, perplexed, happy, disconcerted, you know, like all these like feelings, because I come from an alpha Hispanic military family, and we don't talk like that, you know. I don't care how you feel, it's dinner time, you know. I don't care how you feel, it's time for baseball, you know, whatever the fuck it is, I go, you know. We don't do feeling stuff, you know. And I know families that do. We're not that family. So I don't know how to talk about feelings. And so I'm carrying that stupid sign. And they're like, fuck it with me, you know, because they know I'm uncomfortable. They're like, how do you feel? I'm like, fucking angry. You need to walk away because I'm not real stoked right now. When I was in rehab, I got in beef with somebody. And there was an altercation, You know, they're about to kick us both out. And, you know, I realized the desperation, you know, because I was challenged and my ego was challenged. And I was about to get kicked out of the best thing that's happened to me in forever over someone disrespecting me or some bullshit. You know, I don't even remember what it was. That's how stupid it was. And anyway, you know, I don't remember a lot of the stuff that happened in rehab. I remember any of the lectures. I don't remember any of that. This sleep drawing or what's the thing called when you they play the music and then you draw. Musical journey. I don't remember that. But yeah, I was in rehab. Yeah, but I remember the guys that came out from the 12-step programs. You know, guys came out from big fellowships with big trucks and big watches, and I didn't hear a fucking word they said. 20-plus years, I didn't hear a word they said. But a guy came out from Cocaine Anonymous. He had 6 months of sobriety. He lived in a sober house. He worked in a kitchen for $8 an hour. And I wanted what this guy had. This guy had freedom. You know, for the first time, I believe someone did dope the way I did dope. And he didn't ever have to do it again. And I said, all right, I'm going to give this thing a shot. I'm going to try it one time. And guys came out that had double digits and lost them. You know, and they're like, oh, I stopped praying. I stopped meditating. You know, I stopped calling my sponsor. And I'm thinking to myself, how fucking stupid is that? You know, that's all I have to do to not smoke crack and not wreck trucks and not miss Christmas is say some prayers, give back your shit, and, you know, meditate and show up to some meetings. That's all I have to do. And I'm not willing to do that to stop the chaos. I'm not willing to do a few simple things. You know, when I was willing to do everything that crack cocaine asked me to do. And I'm not willing to do a few simple things that this big book asked me to do. You know, so I said, I'm going to try this thing mechanically. You know, I'm going to do the prayer, I'm going to do the meditation, I'm going to say God, even though I don't believe it. I'm going to do it mechanically, and if it works, cool, and if not, fuck it, I already know how to live that other life. You know, it's like, I'm scared. I'm scared if this thing, what if this thing doesn't work? My whole life is going to keep being fucked up. But it's like, holy shit, what if this thing does work? I don't know how to live life without dope. I don't know how to live life without alcohol. I don't know how to maintain relationships and jobs. I don't know how to talk to people. I don't know how to get girls. You know, I don't know any of that shit, how to do it without alcohol. So what if this shit works? I don't have any tools. But I say, I'm willing to try it. I'm willing to give my life to this thing I don't believe in. The way God has explained to me is, I'm from Austin, God is Dallas. I don't have to believe in Dallas. I don't have to understand Dallas. I don't have to know my way around Dallas. I have to be willing to walk north on I-35, and Dallas is going to make itself apparent. And something happened in the process. Something happened in the mechanics of walking north on I-35. Something happened in the mechanics of service, showing up and making coffee, going and talking to the weird guy in the corner. You know, people show up here right on time and they leave right afterwards and their chairs are empty. In a month or two. You know, who do you want to be, you know? You know, the way my sponsor told me is like, you've been invited to eat at the king's table. You're going to sit here in the corner and looking for scraps. You're settling for scraps. You're settling for crumbs. You've been invited to the king's table. So I had to wake up. I had to show up. I had to show up early. I had to join alumni. I had to show up to the meeting early. I had to chair. I had to go talk to the weird guy in the corner. What's up? No. You know, I had to do some things. You know, because I don't... If I'm miserable, I'm not sticking around. I don't do miserable. I don't do it well, and I don't do it for long. I'm going to change the way I feel. And I've tried it in sobriety with everything, with money, with jobs, with careers, with food, with relationships. This thing's gonna shopping. This thing's gonna get treated. I've got a spiritual disease that's gonna get treated. Either I'm gonna treat it with God and those other things, that shopping, money, love, relationships, that's only gonna fill the hole for so long until it opens back up. Because it's a God-sized hole, but dope works pretty good in it too. So I'm tired, man. You know, why did I say God? Why am I willing to say God? Because I'm tired. I'm beat up. You know, you want me to say God? Fine, God. You want me to give you my life here? Here's my life, because I got nothing, man. You know, I'm going to try this thing. You know, because hopefully it might work and it might not, but I'm going to try it mechanically. My sponsor told me to meet him at the 7:30 a.m. meeting. And I thought it was like a joke, like they test you, like if you show up, you're one of us or whatever, you know. So I show up there and there's a meeting going on. I'm like, shit. And we go to the meeting and, you know, he's all right. He's kind of old, white, suburban kind of meeting, you know. Like, I'm a ninth grade educated dope dealer. Been on my own since 15, lived in punk rock communes and fucking hippie bullshit. And I'm sitting at this, like, suburban AA old school club, 7:30 in the morning, you know, with drinking coffee and, like, they don't look like me. They don't look the way I feel. You know, because, yeah, I might have been working in the mortgage business. Yeah, I might have been a homeowner, but I still felt like that piece of shit that lied to get everything he wanted.
What time do we wrap up here?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I went to that meeting. We went to breakfast afterwards with some of the old ladies from the meeting and a couple of the old dudes, and he's like, he's so happy about it. He's like, this is what we get to do in sobriety. You know, we get to go to breakfast. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to shoot myself. You know? He was so happy about it. He was totally fired up to go to breakfast with these old ladies. And just like, whoa, it's so, you know, but I kept showing up. I kept coming back. And I kept doing the work. I kept doing the steps. And I started looking forward to those breakfasts. Those were my people. They suffer from the same spiritual malady that I do. You know? Yeah, they use white wine and Zinfandels instead of crack and whiskey. You know, but it's the same thing. We suffer from the same thing. You know, that spiritual malady that I put booze in, that I put crack on. You know? And I found a fellowship. You know, and the clubs, the clubhouses, the meetings, they're like bars. There's so many all over the place. Find the one where you feel comfortable. You know, because I sat around places long enough to and dealt with the uncomfort ability, whatever, uncomfortness. I dealt with that long enough, and then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go try some new meetings. You know, and I found the fellowship that I was looking for. And I didn't find it because the meeting was cooler. I didn't find it because they had clothes that looked like my fucking clothes. I found it because I did the work, and all of a sudden I felt like part of. It wasn't because they were just like me. It was because I was finally becoming me. I was finally becoming the person I could be. You know, because I know the kind of guy I wanted to be. I want to be. I want to be the guy with integrity that does what he says he's going to do, that shows up when he says he's going to show up, and I can't pull it off. You know, I want to be that guy so bad still. 12 years sober, I still want to be that guy. I'm still not the guy I want to be. You know, I'm peeling away the layers. You know, that everyone's like, oh, you know, we saw the God part, and, you know, we didn't know if this thing was going to work for me. You know, here's what happened to me and how it works. I'm going to read it off the book. So it says, there are such unfortunates. They're they seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. That's where I thought I was fucked. Because I don't know how to be honest. I want to tell you what you want to hear. Because I'm uncomfortable with you being uncomfortable. You know, I want to say whatever I have to say to not deal with the uncomfortability in that moment. You know? Discomfort, thank you. There we go. There is a solution. It's Taylor. You know, I started doing inventory. I started doing my fourth step, and I started seeing patterns. You know, I saw the chapter We Agnostics, and I was like, cool, this is the good part. This is for the agnostic. This is for the person who doesn't believe, like the sheep mentality that's just, you know, here's the part where, like, you can show me, like, some cognitive shit to where I just play the tape back or some shit, you know, I don't know. Here's the part where I can evade the God piece, and, like, here's the part for smart people, you know. And the only thing that happened in We Agnostics is it says it for me to lay aside my prejudice. So it's like, shit, that's all I have is prejudice, you know. I don't have any other tools but prejudice, you know. It's like, oh, these people are stupid. Here's why they're stupid, you know. Here's the flaws in Buddhism. Here's the flaws in Hinduism. Here's the flaws in Christianity. Here's why everything's all fucked up, you know. Look at all the wars. I just got all this bullshit in my head. You know, all this left-wing hippie punk rock bullshit, you know. Just like why everybody else is all messed up. You know, instead of just setting aside my prejudice. It says, see where religious people might be right. It doesn't say they're right. It says, see where they might be right. So I laid aside my prejudice and I gave my life to this thing that I didn't believe in. I went to that same club and I did my third step with my sponsor and we got on our knees. There's a small room and a big room. We went to the small room and you can see outside and they can't see in. And we got on our knees and we did that third step prayer and I said, God, I offer myself to you to build with me and do with me as you will. Relieve me from the bondage of self that I might better do your will. Take away my difficulties, the victory over them will bear witness to those that would help your power, your love, and your way of life. And it's dark, we're holding hands, and all I can think about is, God, this feels really gay. Yeah. I hope nobody's looking. You know, and I remembered, like, laying in between those hotel beds, you know, my heart's pounding, exploding, I'm sweating, you know, my arm's numb, and I'm still stuffing that pipe. You know, and I write this letter to my mom, and it says, this is not a suicide, it's an overdose. You know, because even when I'm dead, I care what people think about me. I'm going to be dead, and I'm still writing a letter like, this. I didn't do it this way, so, you know, think highly of me, you know. So here I am giving my life to God, you know, I'm ready to give him everything, but I still want to control. I care that people are looking, that they're seeing me submissive, that they're seeing me in this position. You know, that still matters. So we go outside, and I'm smoking. We smoke a cigarette afterwards, and he goes off and talks to somebody, and I'm smoking the cigarette, and I feel the sun on my face, and you know, it felt so good. You know, I had this dog. She was 16. I used to see her lay out in the sun, and I'm just getting that Zen moment. You know, just. You ever seen a dog or a cat just like laying there like, man, that must be nice to be a dog, you know, whatever. I was having one of those moments. I'm sitting there smoking. I'm feeling the sun warm my face and I'm feeling wind on the back of my neck. And I hear my sponsor over here and he says, right here, right now, right this minute, everything's okay. I'm smoking it and I'm feeling that sun and I'm feeling that wind. And I hear him say, right here, right now, right this second, everything's okay. And I got goosebumps. Because I found God. because I can't find him in yesterday, yesterday's remorse. Can't find him in tomorrow, tomorrow's fear. All I can do is find him in the present, right here, right now, right this second. And I still get goosebumps when I tell that story, because I'm armed with how to find that power. It's in the present. You know, I love telling that part of the story, you know, because it says deep down inside of every one of us is the fundamental idea of God, but it's blocked by calamity, pomp, and worship of other things. It's the fundamental idea. Calamity is all my problems, you know, I got so many bills, I don't know how I'm going to catch up, you know. I've messed up so many relationships, I don't know how I'm going to fix them, you know, I'm losing this, I'm losing that, you know. Pomp. It's my arrogance. Well, I already know about God. Let's move on. You know, or, you know, I don't need the God part. And, you know, my arrogance, because I know everything. You know, I'm sitting there with 30 days sober and I know some shit, you know. Sitting there in rehab and I'm like, figured out the whole God thing. I was like, oh, I get it. Don't smoke crack. You know, I understand, you know. I don't know about you guys, but I can figure it out real quick. You know, the thing is, figure it out is not one of the steps. You know, just figure it out is not one of the steps. But I did that. Started writing inventory. Oh, calamity, pomp. That was pomp and worship of other things. You know, the Buddhists call it grasping. You know, if I just had more, then I'll be happy. If I just look like this, then I'll be happy. If she would just love me the way I need to be loved, then I'll be happy. If they'll just give me one more chance, then I'll be happy. You know, I'm trying to hold on to it, and I'm trying to hold it tighter and tighter, and it's fleeting, and it's falling, and I want to hold on to it, because this will make me happy. But the thing, it's unattainable. I'm trying to fill this thing with humans, with human things, but the only thing that's ever going to fill this is God. You know, so that fundamental idea, I think, is this, that this will make me happy, you know, she'll make me happy. If I made more, then I'll be happy, you know. But it's fleeting. You know, things human are going to let me down. The job's going to end. The money's going to stop. The relationship's going to fail. Everything that I've ever tried to hold on to, except this relationship with my Creator, is going to go away. So I need to get hooked in with some power. Got to invite power in my life. Yeah, I have not done this program perfectly. But what I have done is I've kept connection with power. I stayed involved with the fellowship. I stayed involved with sponsees. I stayed involved with a home group. I take people through the work. I stay plugged in. And yeah, I don't do it perfectly. You know, this last year has been a tough year, you know, and I'm peeling away more layers. You know, I'm starting to have problems in areas of my life where I didn't have areas in my life. You know? It's like life gets bigger and cooler. You know, here's the deal. When I do the work, when I do the steps, when I do all 12 steps, I get an effect produced by the steps. When I stay in the work, I get happiness. But here's the deal. I go through it again, and I go through it again, and I go through it again, and my happiness is exponential. My life gets bigger and cooler. My happiness gets bigger and cooler. My problems get bigger and cooler. Well, bigger. But my solution is bigger and cooler. My God is bigger and cooler. You know, this thing that I've given my life to, this thing that I did, came in not believing. And I started off with like a concept. You know, it was like, I'm going to mix in some Eastern with some Native American and, you know, the universe. And like, you know, it just came in with a concept. And next thing you know, I'm starting to have experience with it. Start watching the power work in you guys. Started watching the power working people in treatment. Guys, same guy that came in, tore up, is out there playing volleyball and cracking jokes, and you start seeing the light come on in his eyes. It's like, holy shit, this thing's working. And people see it in me before I see it in you. you know, start seeing this thing working. I'm coming to believe. Came to believe doesn't happen all of a sudden. Came to believe is happening right now. I'm coming to believe by watching you guys get sober. You know, came to believe is still happening once I lay aside my prejudice. I'm coming to believe. And I have to lay that aside every day because I think I know some shit. I started writing inventory and I started seeing... Cute ass baby. I start writing inventory and I start seeing the patterns of my behavior. I start writing inventory and I start seeing why I'm filling those third column needs with people and love and money, and why I'm trying to act to fill those third column needs, you know, my personal relations, sex relations, ambitions. I act to try and get those things met because I think if those are met, then I'll be happy. So I'm starting to see my human trappings, my failings. It's not because she left. It's not because I failed at this. It's because I think having that was going to make me happy. That's a spiritual awakening. It's that knowing I'm going to be okay without that. But I have to get beat to that. Like, just I got beat by dope and alcohol. Now I get beat by my behavior. I'm tired of being the guy that walks in here scared. Once I'm armed with a solution, man, I can walk into any meeting in the country. I can walk into any treatment center, any prison, find the guy that's hurting. Say, you know what? It's going to be all right if you do some work. It's not going to be okay because I'm patting you on the back. That's not going to make it okay. It's going to make it okay once I join in, once I buy in, to I have to do some things differently. You know, I got to show up. You know, if I ever come off, like when I come and talk, I don't plan on what I'm going to talk about. Sometimes I want to tell you guys how fucking cool I was and how much dope I carried and guns and how cool I was. But I don't fucking care about that. It doesn't matter. I don't care how much dope you did. I don't care how, you know, people tell their story and they're like, oh, I did this. And I, you know, I don't fucking care. How'd you get sober? How'd you stay sober? You know, that's what I'm... You go tell the person out there, like, all that stuff, and get him in here, and then you tell him how to get sober in here. You know, I don't need a real meeting where I was like, I shot dope in my neck, you know? I'm already in the meeting, you know? I want to know how I stayed sober. How'd you stay sober? Fucking sober, how'd you stay happy? You know, that's what I want to hear in a meeting. Man, if I ever come off like, oh, you know, up here, I'm gully, man. I'm a crackhead. I burned down so many lives and built them back and burned them down and built them back. I'm gully, man. I'm one of you guys, man. I'm base level crackhead. I was told whenever you tell your story, you put on a collar. So I might look clean tonight, but I'm a crackhead, you know. I've been sober since October 20th of 04, and that's... fucking miracle for a guy like me. Anyway, one of my favorite lines in the book is on page 124. I can hear everyone getting their books out. That's a joke. But, it says, showing others who suffer how we were given help is the very thing which makes life seem so worthwhile to us now. Cling to the thought that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have. It's the key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery for them. So it says, cling to the thought that in God's hands, my dark past is the greatest asset I have. In my hands, it's just guilt and shame. In my hands, my dark past keeps me dark. Says, cling to the thought that in God's hands, my dark past is the greatest possession I have. It's a reason I can walk in here, find the guy that's hurting, and say, you know what? Here's a way out. You know, turn that dark past into good account. You hustled your whole life. Here's how you get out of that. You got a ninth grade education. Here's how you get out of that. There's a solution. Anyway, thanks for having me out, guys.